All right, welcome to How About Dem Apples, and this is going to be our week four recap of all the NFL games.
Yes, we have some interesting religious theories to present about Brett Favre and John Madden currently writing the new Bible, because God himself spoke to me, and I have heard the good word. So let's get it on.
We'll get to that at the end when we talk about the Monday night game. And before that, I'll go on my much publicized Steelers rant. But first off, actually, I wanted to start with a story that was on ESPN today that apparently, according to ESPN.com's Sports Nation coaches approval ratings, Dick Geron, the head coach of the Buffalo Bills, has a 3% approval rating.
Did you say a 3%?
3%.
Now, what has Dick Geron ever done to anyone? because from what I've heard, he's a class act, and he's a good guy. He might not be the most powerful coach, but...
I just love this because more than 3,200 people have voted for this posting, more than any other coach, and and his approval rating is at 3%. In comparison, Wade Phillips, who everyone knows is a completely incompetent coach and he's an idiot, he's 31st on the list at 14%,
but
he only has 750 votes.
Wow.
Just to give a comparison between the approval ratings of these two coaches.
Okay, I mean, if I could think of some coaches, I would think of Phillips, North Turner, Jim Zorn.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess
Buffalo fans are just a little bit angry.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, I can't even count the Rams. I would thought Mangini would be in there.
Well, a couple of the comparisons on here. It says, want to know how difficult it is to get 97% of the public to agree on anything? A 1999 Gallup poll found that 18% of Americans believed that the sun revolves around the earth. And 24% could not identify the country we gained our independence from.
That's comical. That is great.
Public policy polling found in August of this year that 6% of Americans do not consider Hawaii a part of the United States, while 4% were not sure. More people are not sure if Hawaii is a part of the United States than approve of Dick Geron's coaching job in Buffalo.
Thank you for putting that in perspective.
I found this very, very comical.
That is good. That's a good bit of research you did there.
All right. Well, on to our recap. I want to start with what was probably our consensus game of the week was Jets at Saints.
I think...
The final score of this game wound up being 24-10. Drew Brees was held without a touchdown for the second week in a row. But the Saints D came up big, and they just seem to be winning. Each game that they win, they seem to be winning it in a different fashion.
Yeah, and I think that speaks to their growth as a team. Mark Sanchez looked like a rookie, and I personally think this will be a learning experience for him, and probably a good experience. Unless...
Right. Well, I mean, he hasn't faced a team with this caliber. He hasn't been asked to do anything like he was asked to against the Saints this Sunday.
But again, you have to give props to the Jets defense, because they were really good.
They were tremendous.
But the Saints are starting to look like a team that could kill you in a number of different ways.
Well, without the two defensive touchdowns, with the 99-yard interception return and the fumble in the end zone, this would have been a tie game.
Right.
The Jets wound up falling into a hole early, and the Jets really are not built to come back in games. They've got a rookie quarterback, and they've got a run game, so they're not built to come back against teams like the Saints.
I'll tell you, the pickup of Darren Sharper is really starting to look huge. He's leading the league in interceptions. The guy's got 32 career picks. Like he's always been
a
ball
hawk.
Yeah, he's always been very underrated. And Minnesota, they just had him too much in coverage.
What I was reading about yesterday was that Darren Sharper, his whole renaissance now has been because the Saints coaching staff gives him a lot more freedom.
Yeah, they just
roam
him
around. So that was a huge pickup for the Saints, and
veteran
looks like it's paying dividends.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, with Sharper, the Saints D, I will admit, is definitely
improved.
It's slightly better than I had given them credit for.
I think I don't expect them to play like that every week, but I think their defense is good enough.
Yeah, I also think that their defense is definitely at least slightly above average. It can keep them in games if necessary.
And maybe it still has room to grow. That's the thing. I mean,
I do think though, if you have an experienced quarterback in there, I do believe he can pick it apart.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, if you have a Peyton Manning, he's going to pick it apart. Moving on, we've got Cowboys at Broncos. Final score of this game, and this was our upset special of the week. Final score, 17-10 Broncos. And we talked about this yesterday when we were texting. Romo did choke on Dick.
Yeah, he's terrible.
He really is.
I never understood when he was the backup, everyone was still hyping him up as this great backup that was just waiting for a shot. And he was a late round draft pick. He never accomplished anything. I just started hearing his name out of nowhere.
He's not very intelligent. I mean, I think that he's athletic. I just don't think that he has the intelligence or the mind to be a premier quarterback in the NFL.
Especially not one that's going to balance quarterbacking with being a front page media headline every week.
Yeah. The Dallas run game was stuffed, and Romo couldn't do anything since they couldn't get the run game going.
Really, both run games were stuffed. No, Sean Moreno had 65 yards, and that was the most for the entire game.
On 14 carries, I mean,
he
did enough to get them by. I mean, the Broncos' defense is tough, and the Cowboys definitely made a big mistake on picking on Champ Bailey the entire game.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. You'd swear that there was some inexperienced cover guy over there, but they just kept throwing to the right.
Yeah. I'm not really entirely sure what their game plan, what they planned on doing, but obviously it did not work.
They scored
10 points in the first quarter and then couldn't do anything afterwards.
I mean, this is Champ Bailey, right? The guy's been a 99 in Madden since he was in high school.
I mean, Kyle Orton had another good game.
The guy wins.
A very Kyle Orton-esque performance. 20 for 29, 243 yards and two touchdowns. I mean, you know, no matter what anybody wants to say, he does. He wins. That's what he does. I mean, he stands there in the pocket. He's not afraid to throw it. He does whatever's asked of him.
Yeah.
And the Broncos definitely deserve their record. Their defense is strong. I like them, and their offense is starting to come together. They're starting to get Marshall in there on more plays.
Yeah, he did have a solid game, and he had a very nice play.
An incredible play.
Yeah.
I definitely look forward to the Broncos winning that division.
Yeah, you think you look forward to the Broncos winning that game next week?
Ooh, well,
I don't.
We can talk about that during our picks show.
Yeah,
but,
just giving you a foreshadowing of it.
Yeah. All right, next I want to move on to Detroit at Chicago.
Well,
the Bears wound up winning this game 48-24. At half, this game was tied.
Yeah.
21-21. And both Stafford and Johnson left the game. Stafford may play this week. They're going to see how he's doing during practice earlier on in the week. And Calvin Johnson, they say, is day-to-day.
Yeah, they both put up pretty good numbers, especially Johnson. He had 100. He had 133 of Stafford's 296. So that's
this was definitely Stafford's best game so far.
Yeah, and from the other side of the ball, Matt Forte finally found some footing.
Finally, although I don't really know how happy Chicago fans should be about this, because Detroit has a porous defense and Forte had 12 carries for 121 yards. So it was mostly on big plays that he got good chunks of that yardage, and he's not going to be able to do that every week.
Well, that's true, but confidence can go a long way. There's nothing wrong with putting up big numbers against a bad team.
Cutler had a strong game. I think that he's building more and more chemistry with his receivers, especially Johnny Knox.
Yeah.
The Bears D had 5 sacks, and they were strong in the second half, only allowing 3 points, although that was with Dante Culpepper in there.
I don't understand how Dante keeps getting his chances to start. I thought the guy died a couple of years ago.
Well, in all honesty, I don't believe this week the Lions are going to be playing the Steelers, and I don't believe it matters if Stafford is in there or Dante Culpepper. I think it's going to be the same stat line, essentially.
I think it's safe to say that the Steelers may have a better defense than anyone they've faced so far, but we'll get to that.
Yeah. Moving on, because there's not really much else I can say about that game.
No.
We'll go Bengals at Browns. And this wound up being quite a good game.
Yeah, I'm assuming that you had Mohamed Massaquoi on your fantasy team this week.
Unfortunately, I did not.
No.
Although he is going to be a hot pickup for fantasy owners. I'm not entirely sure if I'm going to pick him up, but it does look like that immediately he's got chemistry with Derek Anderson.
Yeah, Derek Anderson definitely injected some life into them, it's safe to say.
Anderson is obviously better than Brady Quinn.
Yeah.
Obviously better. I mean, you know, it's not saying much.
But he doesn't need to be babied the same way.
But like I said, they have a better chance to win with Derek Anderson there. And I did say during our picks show last week, I did say that there was the definite possibility of a Browns upset in this game.
Yeah.
And it came close.
Well, they should have lost in regulation.
Yeah, they should have. I mean, the Bengals outplayed the Browns on both sides of the ball in the first half, but then they wound up letting them come back in the second half. I mean, you know, I think that the Browns should stay with what they've got right now with Anderson at quarterback. They've got Harrison at running back, and Massaquoi looks like he might be Anderson's number one receiver.
Yeah.
And this the new younger look Browns, you know, I think that this is their best plan.
This is their best chance to win to
let them grow up together.
So what do you do with Brady Quinn, your major pick? Shoot him?
I do think you take him out in back of the stadium and put him out of his misery.
Execution style.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Because he's just fucking useless. And I think that the Browns would be... I don't think anybody would blame the Browns for spending their first round high draft pick on a quarterback.
No, definitely not.
No. I wound up picking up Harrison for my fantasy team this week because he looks a hell of a lot better than Jamal Lewis.
Huh.
And I think that Jamal Lewis should be relegated to maybe a few goal line touches because he's just old.
Yeah, he's had a long and productive career. It might just be time for him to.
Yeah, he's no longer a number one running back.
I haven't felt that he was for the last couple of years. I thought his numbers were kind of paper thin. You know, he.
Yeah. Well, moving on, we've got Seahawks at Colts. Colts 34, Seahawks 17.
I love this game for one reason and one reason only, and that's Peyton Manning. Got nothing out of his running game.
Yeah, I just really want to say about Peyton Manning, just wow. I mean, if he keeps up even half the pace that he's on right now, he'll win the MVP easily.
Yeah, he's off to the best start of his career.
Yeah.
And that says a lot.
Yeah, it does.
This game wasn't even as close as it looks.
Because the Seahawks just scored 14 points in garbage time in the fourth quarter.
Indianapolis thoroughly outplayed them, despite the fact that their top rusher only had 46 yards.
I'm not a Joseph Addai fan.
No. They could definitely use an upgrade at that position, and that would put them over the top.
Yeah, well, Peyton Manning, I mean, he just makes the entire team better.
Right.
Donald Brown definitely deserves the accolades that he's getting, though. I mean, he's doing a lot with what he's given.
And yeah.
I think that pretty soon I think that Brown should definitely overtake Addai in that spot. I like him a lot.
How do you think he translates? How do you think he translates to being an every down back?
I'm not entirely sure, but I don't think that Indianapolis, in all honesty, needs an every down back. I mean, do you really think that Joseph Addai is an every down back?
No. That's why I was advocating them.
They don't need an every down back. They haven't had one since Edgerrin James left.
Yeah, since Edgerrin James in his prime.
Yeah. I mean, Addai isn't an every down back right now. I think if they switched positions, and I think that if they gave Donald Brown, you know, his between 10 and 15 carries a game, and then maybe a couple of looks for screens,
right,
and then relegated Addai to the Donald Brown right now role where he's getting a few carries here and there, and then maybe a little bit more in the passing game.
Right.
I think that would work a lot better for them. I just think that Brown is a better pure running back than Addai is.
Yeah, he definitely might be. Addai certainly looked good in his rookie year.
Yeah.
But since then, he
hasn't really done too much.
No, he's just been injury-prone and tentative.
And, I mean, you can't blame it on the offensive line because the offensive line blocks the pass rush beautifully.
Yeah, the offensive line is solid, definitely.
Yeah. On the other side of the ball, the Seahawks, I mean, they're just completely decimated by injuries.
Yeah.
They just look really bad. This season is pretty much just a repeat of last season for them with all their injuries and their problems. I mean, Seneca Wallace, stat line looks good, but he didn't have a very good game.
No.
He got his yardage and his touchdown in garbage time. But I mean, he's serviceable though. We talked about it before. I don't like how he dances around so much and how he, rushes outside of the pocket so much, but I think that if you calm him down a little bit, I think he's serviceable at least.
He's really not a bad quarterback. But he could be like a Cordell Stewart to the T, like just completely average. I just feel like Seattle is treading water.
They really are.
Infinitely.
They're not doing anything.
Since their Super Bowl season.
Yep. Moving on, we've got Giants at Chiefs. And the Giants wound up pulling out a win at 27-16.
Yeah, another game that wasn't as close as it looks.
Yeah, again, 13 points scored in garbage time for the Chiefs in the fourth quarter. Steve Smith, again, had a great game.
Right.
Definitely number one on their depth chart. The Giants' defense was strong again.
Jacobs had solid.
Yeah, he definitely had a solid game. I mean, 21 carries, 92 yards. No touchdowns, but, I mean, he was solid.
Yeah.
And I think that the Giants just really, they really have great balance on their team.
Mm-hmm.
On both sides of the ball, their defense and their offense, they're wonderfully balanced. And unfortunately, their coaching gets a little bit too much of the credit. I don't think that Tom Coughlin's a very good coach.
I think the respectable thing about Tom Coughlin is just what he did a couple of years ago about how he kind of changed his, you know, how he was willing to change his personality to try and go with the team.
Yeah, but I still think that he's retarded.
I think with that mix of talent, he's just best to put them out on the field and step out of the way.
Yeah, especially on defense.
That's basically. You don't hear about him making too many decisions, so
right.
So that's good for them.
Well, one thing that I do want to say about the Chiefs is that somebody had brought up a good point that Matt Cassell actually didn't get going until around this point last year. He could possibly be the type of quarterback who needs a couple of games to get into the swing of things.
It's possible, but too big of a difference in situations.
Oh, absolutely. I still think that Cassell has a bright future. I really do. I think that he's going to be an above average quarterback.
Well, then
he's in a shitty situation.
He needs to get out of there, or they really need to make some major moves within the next 2 years before his career turns into David Carr.
Right. Well, actually, speaking of David Carr, there's a slight chance that he might play for the Giants next week.
That's amazing.
Manning has a bruised heel. He can play this week, but although what he has is... let me look it up exactly.
Not sure if it's worth risking him against the Raiders.
Yeah, I don't believe that they will, but this condition that he has is essentially a bruised heel, and I've had this before actually, and it is really painful.
Mm-hmm.
And I can imagine it's probably incredibly painful to be running around and setting your foot
down
and making throws. He will be. I think that he probably will play just because, I mean, he's a Manning. He's got that competitive spirit and everything.
Right, right.
I don't really think that it'll affect him too much.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he'll be able to play through it. But, I mean, if he does wind up sitting and David Carr goes in there, it's against the Raiders.
Yeah, I still think that they'll pull out a win. And I would love to see David Carr have a breakout game, you know, 8 years later.
Yeah. All right. Let's quickly go through the Bucs at Redskins.
Well, the Redskins won 16-13.
Yeah. And this was our Fuck You, Kill Yourself Game of the Week brought to you by How About Damn Apples.
I think I just adequately summed it up, actually.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, real quick, the Redskins need a lot of changes on the team. I really do think that they need to take Jason Campbell out of there. Portis, 25 carries, 98 yards. Looks kind of good, but really wasn't a good game. Very sloppy.
Yeah, it was.
Tampa Bay actually had an okay game.
How did Josh Johnson do?
Josh Johnson wasn't asked to do too much. He was 13 for 22, 106 yards and a touchdown. Like I said, he wasn't asked to do too much. Cadillac Williams had 16 carries for 77 yards, which is serviceable.
Yeah.
I think that I think that Tampa Bay would have been able to eke out a win here if Johnson would have been a little more experienced. If this was like his fourth or fifth start, I think they would have been able to win this game.
I would have loved that, to see Washington lose to Tampa Bay and Detroit within 3 weeks.
Well, who cares about that game? It's the fuck you kill yourself game of the week.
Brought to you by How About Them Apples.
Of course. We got Titans at Jaguars. And the Jaguars wound up winning this one big, 37-17.
Your man David Girard had a very nice game.
Very strong game. And obviously, Sims Walker is the number one receiver on this team.
Yeah.
He's got the most targets by far. Most yardage, most receptions, most touchdowns. He had a big game. 7 receptions, 91 yards, 2 touchdowns.
I really feel like Tennessee's done.
I really, really feel like they're done also. I mean, they really, really sucked in the first half. Mm. And they're another team like the Jets. They're just not a good comeback team.
I just feel like they've gotten progressively worse all season so far.
I think so, too. Their defense is horrible. It's terrible. Their run defense is the only thing that might, you know, be somewhat of a saving grace.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they can't do anything on offense for some strange reason. And it's not Kerry Collins' fault. He threw 48 times in this game. And Kerry Collins, at this stage in his career, should not be asked to throw 48 times in a game.
Especially not when they have such a good running game.
They've got one running back. I mean, you know, the other one's just a fat fucking slob.
When you get down so big, you know, you don't really have a choice.
I mean, Collins really honestly is not the problem. And people were talking about, well, is it time to bring in Vince Young? Well, Collins isn't the problem, though. He's not losing games himself.
No.
He's doing pretty much everything that he can to try to keep them in games. Their defense is just putting them in holes really early, and that takes the run game out. And once the run game is gone, Tennessee's fucked. That's what they're built on. I mean,
they really have no offensive playmakers at the receiver position. I mean, Kenny Britt is a rookie, and he looks decent.
I think he's going to have a good career.
Yeah, I do too, but right now, he's not ready to shoulder load.
No, definitely not. I think that they should just sort of try to salvage what they can this season and start over again next season. Get some draft picks. Get some maybe free agents in there. I think they need to shift around a lot of things in that organization.
I think they need to sign Peyton Manning.
Yeah, because Peyton Manning is ever going to leave Indianapolis.
Just a personal note.
the Jaguars are surprisingly better. I mean, they're really, really good on offense.
Yeah.
And their pass game opens up for the rush. Although they didn't have a great rushing game this week, it was against the Titans' rush defense, which is their only saving grace.
Yeah, the Jaguars are definitely much better than I had given them credit for. Yeah. I just don't think they're good, but they're okay.
Yeah, I think they're on their way to possibly an 8-8 season.
Right.
Possibly, if they keep going at this pace. Next game, we've got Raiders at Texans. We'll go through this game pretty quickly. There's not too much to say. Finally, a good game for the Texans defense, but whoop-de-fucking-do. Because it was against the Raiders.
You definitely don't want to be the team that Jamarcus Russell breaks out against. That's the one thing.
Wait. You think that Jamarcus Russell can break out against a team?
I'm just saying God help him if he did.
Russell was 12 for 33 in this game. I mean, when the hell do we... I mean, we're talking about taking Brady Quinn out back and shooting him. What about Jamarcus Russell? I mean, why is Jamarcus Russell still even in there? I understand they give him big money because he was a number one pick, but he's fucking the entire organization.
He's completing like 40% of his passes, and that's not even a nation. He's horrible.
He's absolutely terrible. And he's bringing the entire organization down, because if nobody's worried about Russell passing, They just stack the box, and that's going to stifle the run game, which the run game, in all honesty, on paper, they have a moderately, you know, a slightly above average run game. They have Fargus, they have McFadden, and they have Michael Bush.
Yeah.
Out of those three, they've got a slightly above average run game, and they've got some good talent for receivers.
Some good young talent that needs a veteran quarterback, or at least a rookie quarterback, or a younger quarterback with some fucking potential. I mean,
well, at least a quarterback who isn't fucking Jamarcus Russell.
Exactly.
I mean, during this game, I watched this game for about 10 minutes just because I was flipping through, and during this game, Jamarcus Russell is sitting on the sideline, and he's smiling and laughing and everything, and this is in the fourth quarter when they're down 29-6. He just really honestly does not give a shit.
Well, he's got his.
I can guarantee you any money that he does not give a shit because he's a fat piece of shit who doesn't care because he got his payday.
Yeah.
I mean, he's fucking rich, and he doesn't care. I mean, he's got no work ethic whatsoever.
He's got no intelligence.
No, none at all. The only thing that he has is a strong arm, and that doesn't matter because he has no accuracy whatsoever. And he doesn't give a shit. I really think that he might sabotage himself and throw a lot of really shitty bullshit passes to get off the field quicker.
Yeah, that's a great conspiracy theory.
I mean, the Raiders are just horrible all around.
Yeah.
Their one win is lucky. I think if they pull out one more win, then I think it's like a Super Bowl for them.
Yeah, and hopefully it's not with Jamarcus Russell quarterbacking.
They really need to get rid of him. I don't understand. Even after last season, why the hell are they keep him in there even after last season?
I don't know.
And now after four games, let me see. Let me look up his fucking stats real quick here. His quarterback rating is a 42.4.
Yeah.
He has 506 yards, one touchdown, and four interceptions. He has a 39.8% completion.
There we go. I was right. I was right.
Yep. That is disgusting for a starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Especially for a number one pick.
Right.
I mean, you know, but it's not his fault that he was a number one pick. I mean, Al Davis is still running that team, but
that's a whole different can of worms.
Uh-huh. But I mean, you know, if your starting quarterback is throwing, it has a 40% completion percentage and has a 42.4 quarterback rating, when the hell do you make a change? You know, like
I haven't even heard rumblings of a change, to be honest.
No,
with you.
No, because I think that they still want to stick with him because they gave him so much money, which is, it's just, that bothers me.
Yeah.
It bothers me that there can be somebody like that in the NFL that just doesn't give a shit. He was a number one pick, so he got his payday, so now he doesn't care.
It should be all about winning.
I
don't understand.
Well, moving on from this, because I spent way too much time on that one. Ravens at Patriots, and the Patriots wound up winning this game 27-21.
I'm glad they won, but I really wished that Clayton dropping a pass didn't factor into it.
Right. I mean, there was a couple of other things, you know, happenings in that game.
Yeah.
That led up to that situation.
I mean, right.
You know, that's one of those situations, like, people are talking, well, if Clayton would have caught that ball, then maybe this game would have been different. And then people talk about the Bengals. Well, they're one fluky pass away from being 4-0.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, they're not just one fluky pass, because if they would have scored one more touchdown earlier in that first game, they would have won the game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, you can say that,
you know,
in any scored situation.
I just really don't like that, though. It's one fluky pass from being 4-0. Yeah, well, I mean, the Browns got the ball in overtime this week against the Bengals twice. If they would have kicked a field goal, been able to move the ball 30 yards, then the Bengals would have been 2-2.
Right, exactly. I mean, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, I just wish that it was. It almost feel like it's tainted because so many people take credit away from it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I
I
mean,
mean,
really, it was a.
instead of giving the Broncos credit for being a at least, at least a top 10 team this year, people go, well, it was a fluky play.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there was a lot of other things that happened during that game
That
that
enabled
led
them
to
to
that.
be in that
Yeah.
position anyways.
I mean, a last play is one thing, but like, you can say that about like, that the catch in the Super Bowl, the Patriots and Giants,
You could say
because
that about
that just,
immaculate reception.
yeah, that just completely turned the tables and the entire momentum of the game. That wasn't a last play of the game. That changed the momentum of a game. When people talk about the Bengals or in this game with the drop pass, that didn't change the momentum of the game because that was a last play. So,
Right.
I just think in this game, like I text to you, I mean, you can't, you seemingly can't beat Brady at home
Right.
because Brady has a 18 game winning streak at home now. The Pats defense was strong again, stronger than anybody had given them credit for, including me at the beginning of the season.
Randy Moss caught his first touchdown pass of the season, which to me is amazing.
Yeah. Well, I do think that Brady, I say it every week, he continues to improve. I definitely like how balanced their attack was this week.
Right. I mean, the run game wasn't the strongest.
No, it wasn't the strongest, but they split the plays pretty evenly.
Yeah. Joe Flacco, definitely impressive.
Joe Flacco, yeah, he's certainly impressive. I mean, the Ravens were not bad by any stretch.
It was a
They
good
were
game.
just outplayed and they were outcoached. That's the thing. Like, I really believe that they were outcoached and they were outplayed on both sides of the ball, even if it was just slightly.
Well, I
It was
feel like
just
it,
enough.
everyone talks about how young Joe Flacco is and his running backs and stuff, but they have a second or third year head coach too.
Yeah, exactly. Their coach is
So
growing up with the team too.
it really is, again, like we said, just watch out in the next couple of years. These guys will be, I mean, if they keep their nucleus together, they will be the class of the AFC.
Yeah,
You
I
know,
agree.
as the Mannings and the Bradys are on their ways out, this is a team that's definitely poised to take over if everything continues along how it should.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree. I mean, we both picked the Patriots to win this game.
No, I think I
No,
went with Baltimore.
I picked the Patriots, you picked Baltimore.
I really could see the Ravens and the Steelers becoming a I know it's a rivalry already, but I could see that taking over as the Manning Brady rivalry, maybe 5 years from now.
Yeah,
Because
I could
Ben
see that happening.
Roethlisberger will only be, he won't be, he won't be old yet. Like, and
No, he'll be, what, in 5 years, I think he'll probably be like 30,
probably 30,
32.
32 with the oldest.
Yeah.
I mean, neither one of these teams is going anywhere. The Steelers might be off to a bad start, but the point is that's going to be a great rivalry, I think.
Ben Roethlisberger is 27 this year, so
Okay,
he would be,
so there you go.
in 5 years, he's 32.
And he should still be a good quarterback then.
I think so.
But anyways,
Barring any freak injuries or something.
yeah.
But I mean, in this game, like the only thing that I have to say is, like I said before, I just think that the Ravens were just, they're just outcoached, I really
I
think
would.
that this game could have gone either way.
Outcoached kind of makes it sound like there was a deficiency. I just feel like they were
It, no,
out of
when I
experience.
say outcoached, when it comes to, when it comes to the Patriots against anybody else, I mean, I just think that Bill Belichick is, top three coach in the entire league.
Right. No, that's. I'm just saying. Like, I
And
feel
I just
like.
think that the decisions that were made favored the Patriots because the Ravens in this game only rushed the ball like I think 14 or 15 times
Yeah, Ray Rice did have over 100 yards
on 11 carries. Yeah,
carried.
I
So
mean he had a nice game, but I
kind of.
mean they only rushed the ball like 15 times and Flacco threw the ball 47 times. So and then if you look on the other side of the ball, you know, it was an even match. It was like 20-20 or whatever for pass rush.
Right.
I just think that there were smarter coaching decisions made on the Patriots side of the field.
Okay.
Moving on, Bills at Miami, and we'll go through this one quick. The Bills are just incredibly stale. They need to change their game plan. They tried out this fucking no-huddle offense. They tried to do a Peyton Manning style, and obviously it doesn't work with Trent Edwards in there. Obviously, I mean, I had said that Trent Edwards at the beginning of the season was a good game management quarterback, and he's obviously not.
No.
He's pretty terrible.
Everybody obviously loves Dick Geron, as we've already established.
Yeah.
Lee Evans, 60 yards. Trent Edwards, 192. That's pedestrian.
Yeah.
They got lit up by Ronnie Brown. What's that?
They need to bring back J.P. Lossman.
Yeah, J.P. Lossman is starting for the CFL, is it?
Yeah, the UFL.
UFL, whatever.
Yeah, the UFL, which I'm kind of excited about because it's going to be football on Thursdays and Saturdays.
Yeah, how about we bring back the XFL while we're at it, too?
I really want to.
He hate me?
And Tommy Maddox, MVP.
Oh, let's not even talk about Tommy Maddox.
Well, the Dolphins' run attack was incredibly strong in this game, 250 yards on the ground. And obviously the Dolphins are just absolutely amazing at controlling the clock in games.
Yeah, Chad Henne threw for about 115 yards, which is impressive because for a team to score 38 points
and
have your quarterback, you know, he wasn't asked to do much, so I'm not really blaming it on him. I just think it's kind of funny.
Yeah. Well, Buffalo did have 3 turnovers in the game, and I believe at least 2 of those led to touchdowns. Moving on, because that was a terrible game.
San Francisco.
The St. Louis Rams at San Francisco 49ers, and the 49ers completely blew the Rams away, 35-0.
Yeah.
And in this game... I was wrong a couple weeks ago when I said, you know, Kyle Bowler's coming in there. Maybe it's going to give him a fresh look on offense.
Yeah.
He's pretty horrid.
Yeah, he's always been pretty horrid.
Yeah, but I just figured that maybe, you know, there's maybe he would come in there and they'd be able to rattle off a couple of plays or something. But no, he's terrible.
Nope.
Jackson, week in and week out, we keep saying it. Only thing that matters on this team. And it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Same. 49ers, just their defense had an absolutely brilliant game. I mean,
yeah,
it was against the Rams, but they're we keep praising Mike Singletary and his philosophy and his bringing this toughness to this football team, and it certainly worked.
They definitely took care of business, and that's really all there is to say about it. They should have dominated them. They did dominate them. Good mark of a good team, really. I mean,
yep.
Okay, I'm gonna prepare myself for the onslaught that's coming.
Actually, I'm a little bit calmer today than I have been the last 2 days.
I just want to clear up to you what I meant when I said glad to see the Pittsburgh's hungry. I am glad that they didn't start out that game the way that San Diego did. I'm glad that at least they did what they were supposed to do. I know that San Diego was fucking terrible. And I'm only talking about the first 3 quarters, because the 4th quarter, to me, I'm sure that we agree on completely. But for the first 3 quarters, I was glad to see that Pittsburgh was taking its opportunities, just getting it over with, getting it done. And that's why I was content to say that I didn't care how San Diego played, I just wanted Pittsburgh to win.
Well, to me, and I explained this to Lauren last night, I really, really do not like when people say, well, a win's a win, you know, no matter how sloppy their team plays, they'll say, well, you know, it's a W on the board, a win's a win. The thing is that's a cop-out to me. Because, yeah, it's a win, and yeah, the Steelers are 2-2.
Uh-huh.
But if any of these fucking retard Steelers fans out there actually watch the game, they would realize they have a shitload to worry about.
Well, I made that clear to you when we were talking, too. I completely admitted that. I was really just thinking, I want to swallow this game and just worry about next week.
Well, next week I think that they've got a win. I just, I mean, there's It just really made me angry because most of the people, it seems, on my Facebook are supposed Steelers fans.
Right.
And 99% of them are girls.
Uh-huh. Well,
and,
we'll discuss that.
You know, oh, yay, Steelers win. Yeah, but did you watch the game? Do you realize what's going on? Do you know anything about football?
Do you realize that the Steelers gave up
28 points?
28 points. Yeah.
In a quarter's time?
That was horrible.
San Diego, who couldn't rush the ball. Could not rush the ball. Tomlinson and his fucking floppy vagina had 7 carries for 15 yards. And this is one thing that I want to bitch about.
Okay.
During that game, when the Chargers were making their defensive stand. When he was standing on the fucking sideline. And he was saying, you got to have heart. You got to have heart. Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
you're the last person in the fucking NFL to tell your fucking defense to have heart and to make a stop. If you had more than 15 yards, if you fucking had more than a 2-yard average.
If you had not sat out of the playoffs and stood on the sideline while your team lost and you stood there in a jacket and a visor and did not move.
Yeah.
Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, I mean, you know, who the fuck are you to tell somebody to have heart? You know, like, wow. That really pissed me off. And because of that, I don't care if Tomlinson comes back and has a great rest of the season. I'm dropping him from my fantasy team.
That whole game.
I will not root for him.
It just combined all of the elements just combined to give me a shitty night, really.
you said it, you know, the Chargers are soft. They're not good at anything except for their pass game. Their pass game, of course, looked strong, especially towards the end there when Pittsburgh fucking put on skirts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we're running around in circles like chickens with their heads cut off. I mean, you know, the Steelers' run defense is, of course, strong. We all know this. They haven't given up a 100-yard rusher in the last 22 regular season games.
That is impressive.
Yeah, I definitely like that stat.
It just wasn't enough that, you know, I had you saying what a bad win it was, and I was trying to defend them, and then the fourth quarter happened, I don't think I text messaged you in the fourth quarter until the end.
No, you
when
didn't.
I was so bitter, I turned it off for a while. I was just like,
then both you and Lauren, you know, are like, oh well, there's the game that you wanted, because I was bitching about the game.
Oh, I didn't say. I just asked if you were watching it.
Yeah, well, Lauren said, you know, oh, well, there's the game that you wanted when they started to come back. And I said to both of you guys, I'm still not thrilled.
Yeah, it wasn't a good game.
I knew that the Chargers were not going to come back. I mean, it just, if the Steelers hadn't have put them into a hole so early, I really think that this game would have been completely different.
Yeah. On the bright side, Rashard Mendenhall really broke out. Probably not for a permanent. I'm just glad again. Like, confidence goes a long way, and it's like I said with who was it? Well, with Forte.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with putting up stats against a bad team.
No, absolutely not. I picked up Mendenhall this morning for my fantasy team. Because there was a screw up. Somebody had picked him up this week and played him, but then they wound up going against our injured reserve rules and using the injured reserve slot for a bench slot. And this is the third year that they've done it. So they wound up, they were forced to drop Mendenhall. So I said, ooh, I'll pick him up. Why the hell not? I mean, you know, we don't know what's going on with Willie Parker. And I really think that they should sit Willie Parker. Because I think that Mendenhall, as long as he's not fumbling the ball, I think they should keep him in there.
But for one thing, he's playing the Lions. For another thing, even if Parker's back, this week is definitely going to go towards getting him the lion's share of the carries. Pun intended.
I think that they, for as much as they've put into him, and as much as that organization has built Mendenhall up, I really think that they need to just start putting him in there as the number one featured back.
Yeah, I agree.
He's fast. He's incredibly strong. The thing is, though, is that he can't create his own play.
He runs upright, too.
Yeah, he runs with the ball high in his chest. And he, like I said, he can't create his own play. Watching that game, I just saw he got all of his yards on the gigantic...
Gaping.
Yeah, the fucking...
holes.
You know, the holes that were the size of Tomlinson's vagina.
Right, exactly. You don't want to mess
with it. And that was it. Like, he didn't create his own plays at all. And he hasn't shown yet in his young career that he can do that. And that's the only thing that I think is a little shaky with him. That and, like we said, he's got fumbling issues because of where he holds the ball.
Correctable, though, definitely.
The Steelers just really, honestly, I mean, very strong in the first half. Very strong. And then in the second half, gave it up to the passing game. Again, they can't just put away a game that they easily won.
I don't understand what it is with the fourth quarter, but...
I really think that Polamalu is a huge part of that.
Well, yeah, even with him in there, I don't feel like he could account for stopping 28 points.
No, I don't think so, but I think that... I think that he gives them a lot better chance to stop the big play, and they've been killed on big plays.
Right.
They gave up 124 yards to Antonio Gates, which I'm pretty sure that's the first time in like 4 years that Antonio Gates has like caught more than two balls.
Maybe so.
But 124 yards, I think he probably had like 80 of those yards in the last quarter.
Yeah, well, that goes without saying.
Like I said, I mean, I've calmed down the last couple of days with the Steelers. Maybe next week I'll have another Steelers rant.
Hopefully.
last night's game, Packers at Vikings, which was actually ESPN's highest rated telecast ever. I actually believe that it was like one of the highest rated telecasts ever.
Probably. You know, in spite of what we say about Favre, he really did have a good game. Good game. You know, he didn't. The thing I've seen about him this year, from what I've watched, is that he really is throwing the ball a lot better than he ever did last season. Yeah. A lot harder. You know, whatever it was last night, he just looked like he really, really wanted, you know, he really wanted to stick it to them. Because the parts of the game that I did catch, I could see that. He was throwing the ball with zip, and it was accurate.
Well, yeah, Peterson didn't look so hot.
No.
The Green Bay, their offensive line is horrible.
Yeah, 8 sacks?
I believe it was 8 sacks. And 4.5 of them given up
Jared
to Allen.
Yeah, Jared Allen's an elite defensive end.
Oh, my God. Well, the Vikings' defensive line is just scary.
Yeah, right.
It really is. That's in a league of its own right there.
Over the last 3 years, they're giving up an average of 70 rushing yards a game, which is the best 3-year rushing average in NFL history. That's all you need to know about it. That's better than the Steelers.
Yeah, and that was, a year of that was before they got Allen.
Yeah. Kansas City gave him away for nothing, too, which is the best part.
Yeah, I don't really understand that.
And he's got him.
Everybody knew before that whole trade that it was that he was elite.
It was Pau Gasol of the NFL, basically.
Essentially, yeah. One thing I noticed in this game, I don't know if you looked at that link that I sent you and actually watched the game.
Aaron Rodgers, I was busy doing work. I just figured it'd be better to put it on the radio.
Aaron Rodgers possibly has the most beautiful, clean-looking through-the-air passes.
Oh, he's got a great arm. He's got
every single ball that he threw last night, whether, you know, it was a, a good pass or not, it was just a perfect spiral. I mean, he's got such a strong arm.
Yeah.
His offensive line is just absolutely terrible.
Well, that, you know, the offensive line is bad. He did hang on to the ball too much. He did turn it over twice.
His stat line looks really good with the 384 yards.
Yeah.
But he really didn't have a very good game, contrary to that stat line. If you actually watched the game last night, he didn't have that great of a game. He only missed 11. He had 11 incompletions. But out of those 11 incompletions, there were a couple of really terrible-looking passes, like, that you kind of just sat there and went, wait a minute, where the hell was that one going?
He was better in the fourth quarter, wasn't he?
He was certainly better in the fourth quarter, except for the whole safety debacle.
Yeah. I heard the whole thing on the radio. I didn't actually get to see it.
In this game, I'm so fucking sick and tired of Brett Favre.
Right, but try and throw your bias out and give me your game last night.
I'm on the side that I'm sick of hearing about Brett Favre. We all know that he's one of the at least top three quarterbacks of all time. We know this.
Right.
So we should come to expect good games from him.
Exactly.
Even if he is 40 years old.
Right.
Watching the game last night, all that they were talking about was Brett Favre. And that's any game that I ever watch with Brett Favre. I'm pretty sure that I've made up my mind that I will not watch another game with Brett Favre involved. I'm just
unless it's the playoffs.
I won't even then. I won't
you
even watch a Super Bowl.
If it's the Patriots and the Vikings, you will
no,
watch it.
I'm just sick of it because all it will be about is Brett Favre, Brett Favre, Brett Favre.
Oh God, if they make it to the Super Bowl, you better prepare yourself.
I won't even pay attention to football then.
Uh-huh.
I really won't. It really takes me out of, it takes a lot of enjoyment away from me.
Yeah, because
used to him having good games. Why is it a big deal if he has a good game? This game really wasn't that great. Contrary to what everybody is saying, what everything that I've heard and all the podcasts that I've listened to, all the stories that I've read, everybody is praising Favre.
It's just a case of Favre doing what he's supposed to do.
Exactly.
I really feel, honestly, like, although Brett Favre, you know, flip-flops and comes back and retires, I honestly don't feel like he could – I don't feel like he cares if the announcers praise him while he's playing. I really honestly don't. Like, he might want the attention from the teams in the offseason, but I never really felt like – you know, he's not flamboyant or anything during the season. He doesn't get attention. He doesn't go for attention. Like, he plays.
No, he doesn't. But the thing is that the announcers do. And I cannot listen or watch a game if the announcers are going to be on his fucking penis like that.
Is it safe to say, though, that despite last night, that Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback right now?
I fully believe this, yes.
You know, I mean, Brett Favre's got the game experience, which is, you know, you can't measure it physically, but I think physically Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback, and it's not really a fair comparison. But
not really because of the stages of their career, but
yeah.
I personally do think that Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback. If you put him with if you put him with a better offensive line.
Yeah, and a better running game.
I mean, even with the offensive line, which last night looked like one of the worst in the NFL, he did throw for 384 yards. My comparison last night, Brett Favre and Tim Tebow, and how much attention they both get, I really fully believe that in that. I really do, because when we were watching that the national championship game, how the announcers would not, no matter what was going on, I mean, there could have been another 9/11 attack, but they would not stop talking about Tim Tebow.
Well, no, that's fine, because if there was a 9/11 attack, Tim Tebow would have stopped it.
That's true. He would have. He would have flown up there and stopped it, or gone back in time, or whatever he does with his magical powers.
Yeah.
But the thing is, though, is that I could never watch games that John Madden was announcing that Brett Favre was playing in. I mean, I couldn't watch John Madden anyway, because I think I'm one of maybe 1% of football fans that actually doesn't think that John Madden was a good announcer. But I mean,
I love Pat Summerall, though.
I love Pat Summerall, but that's another story. I mean, but when Brett Favre was playing and John Madden was announcing,
it was a love fest.
Yeah, I mean, there was no mention about even like football or anything. It was just about Brett Favre.
It's kind of similar. You know, this is just to Dick Vitale and Tyler Hansbrough, but the difference is, Dick Vitale shows a true passion for the game that he's calling. And, you know, John Madden was just kind of smug.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways.
I just, ugh. Well, you know, I really enjoyed your Holy Trinity.
Yeah.
I really did, because it's perfect.
For those of you who don't know, everyone worships John Madden because he is God. Brett Favre is the Holy Spirit because not only has he been everywhere the last couple of years, but he will never die. And Tim Tebow is Jesus because he was born without original sin.
According to announcers during the national championship game, he has never done anything wrong in his entire life.
Never. And that is the Holy Trinity of sports.
Yep.
You know, Tim Tebow saves cats from trees. He, you know, doesn't drink alcohol.
He lays down
on puddles so girls can with him without getting their feet wet, from what I've heard. That's really good of him.
If there is ever a puddle anywhere in the world and girls think that they might get their feet wet, I encourage you to call Tim Tebow's name.
Yeah.
He'll be there.
I just really hope to God that he goes to the NFL and has a complete meltdown and turns into Ryan Leaf to the press.
Well, oh my God. Front page ESPN every single day is always a status about how Tim Tebow is doing. Like, there are literally thousands of other athletes that they could be talking about, but ESPN only likes Brett Favre and Tim Tebow.
And again, like, I really don't feel like Tim Tebow necessarily cares about the attention either. It's like people just do it for him.
No, I'm not saying that they do care about the attention.
Right.
I just hate the attention that's paid to them. And there's a football game going on. Talk about something else.
Yeah. Yeah, God forbid we actually talk about the sport in which these heroes are playing.
Yeah.
I just love Florida football hero. Tim Tebow.
Football hero. Tim Tebow. Oh, boy. All right. Well, you know, we ranted for way too long.
That was a worthwhile rant, though.
that was our week 4 recap. And look forward to Thursday's podcast, where actually we might be switching up gears and maybe we'll talk about baseball.
I would love to.
Maybe we'll talk about some baseball, because we did our power rankings and our state of the NFL last week, and I think that's probably at most maybe in every 2 to 3 week.
Yeah.
I mean, the power rankings aren't going to change too much.
Especially not after this week. Hey.
Not really. I mean, there's going to be a couple of position changes, but not too much. So I think on Thursday maybe we'll switch up some gears and we'll talk about some baseball playoffs.
Kurt, I know you don't care about the baseball playoffs,
not at all.
Like the AL Central, but it's 4-4 in the bottom of the 8th, so it at least is a good game.
Yeah.
So I probably will keep up with that.
Yeah, I might turn that on, maybe.
Anyways,
as long as I don't have to sit through a 9-inning game.
Yeah.
Anyways, well, like I said, that's it for us, and that was How About Dem Apple, Dem Apples. And their week 4 recap.
All right. If anyone has any ideas or anything they'd like to add, just get in touch with us. Pretty easy on Facebook. Just look us up.
All right. Okay. That's it for us.
Say yeah.